kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I trust that you've all had a blessed week and you are experiencing the Lord's presence, leading and guidance, because that is what salvation is about. Hallelujah. It's not about religion. It's about a living reality, a walk with our Lord and Saviour, and knowing his guidance, his leading, his voice, and gleaning that faith from the Word of God. Praise his name. Well, I've got a title today for our teaching, and we're calling this, there may be a couple, I think, on this subject, but we're calling our teaching Experiencing a Sound Mind. Experiencing a Sound Mind. I'm very aware when the Lord gives a title for me to share with you that it's not something merely that we just expound on. It's not just good ideas or it gets our interest. Everything that God gives to us, ministered to us by the Spirit, is to be an experience. It is to change us. It is to make us become more and more Christ-like. And that is what is so miraculous about the Christian gospel and its message. Its message is all-powerful to change us into the likeness of Almighty God. And I say this with regard to the title of this teaching, Experiencing a Sound Mind. And like all teachings, we take them very seriously, but this, what we're going to talk about today, is top of the list. And the reason being is because it is about your mind. It is about your thinking. And I want to open up first with this from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, which we're going to base our teaching from. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, we all know this very well. You probably got it underlined. And he says here, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul is writing this to young Timothy. It's interesting that the Apostle is in prison. And here he is writing a letter encouraging this young man in the faith, who's a minister, a worker, a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple. He's young, but he's encouraging him to continue in his ministry, to not deviate, to not compromise. He's encouraging him because he's going to be opposed in what he teaches. And this is what he says to him, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." That is what God gives us when we become born again. This is the work that he does in our minds and thinking. Because if he doesn't do this, none of us will walk this walk. We will all go back. And we'll go back in fear. Because fear is tormenting. Fear is confusion. And the world is held and gripped by it. So God says that he's going to work with our minds. He's going to deal with fear. He's going to deal with unbelief, because he's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. That is what comes with the new birth, when you are born again of the Spirit. And that's why he works this deliverance and healing in us. A sound mind. Now, a sound mind is interesting. We probably have some insight and understanding of what it means, but we often need to look at these words because it actually means to have self-control. It also means to be one of moderation or balance. It also means to discipline or to curb the mind in what we think on. You see, fear and unbelief keep the mind open to Satan. And that's why he says that he's not given us a spirit of fear. So he goes right to the number one thing that the enemy uses to hold, to control and paralyze the world and people. He uses fear, the very fear that he is tormented by because he has fallen and he fears God. He fears what he's going to, what his future is in the lake of fire and brimstone. So he is possessed with fear. But nevertheless, he is still cunning. He is sly. He is like that serpent. But he is gripped and held in fear. And he holds the world with that fear as well, that he is tormented by. Let's turn to Proverbs 23 verse 7, which again we know very well. I make no apologies for going over these scriptures because they are so important for us to understand. But in Proverbs 23 and verse 7 he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. You are the sum total of your thoughts. You are what you are thinking right now. In other words, it's the heart, the inner man, which we know is the seat of the emotions, the appetite. It's what we call the soul, the heart. So as a man thinks in his heart, so your thinking in your brain is connected to your heart. And that is why the heart has to be changed from stone to flesh. God says, doesn't he, "I will put a new heart and a new spirit within you." And he does that. He makes us a new creation for the purpose to get to our mind, to our thinking. Because it's corrupt. It's defiled. It's oppressed by the enemy, the god of this world. This is why we have to become a new creation in order for this. You see, what is interesting, our minds are the foundation of our actions. It's, if you like, it's the engine. The mind is responsible for our actions. All your actions today, the moment you woke up, you got up, your actions have been motivated by your mind, by your thinking. And that is why our faith, our confession is that God has given us a new heart. A heart after the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is circumcising the heart. He is working on the heart because in the heart is sin. In the heart is unbelief. And that is why God has to work with the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. This is why I always say the preaching and teaching of the gospel is to the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. But God has got to change our minds. He's got to change the thinking. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. It's like the analogy of a computer. If you put wrong information in a computer, it will keep bringing it out. It will keep coming up. It has to be erased. It has to be deleted. For right information programming to be put in. So it is exactly the same with us spiritually. And this is why we have the meetings. This is why we come together under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is why we have the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword. It is delivering. It is changing your mind. It is putting right thinking, right knowledge, right understanding into our minds. Because we were born in a fallen world. The tragedy was when Adam and Eve sinned, their minds became exposed and open to evil, to good and evil. But it became open to the God of this world, the devil himself, who stole that birthright from Adam. But the wonderful good news of the gospel is that Jesus has now taken that which the enemy stole from Adam and Eve. He has taken that from him, and he is now restoring and giving back to the church, to his people, our birthright. And so the blessings of this birthright, the Word of God, is he's now going to heal us. He's now going to deliver us. You will not get physical healing until your mind is healed. Until you have the right thinking that harmonizes with God's word, God's will. And trust me, brothers and sisters, he is doing this. This is why we are baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, in order for him to do this. And our faith believes we have that new heart. That heart that he's working upon, changing from stone to flesh, in order that we can have the right mind and thinking. Whatever you are expressing right now is because of your mind. What is going on in your mind, your thinking? Your mind can free you, or it can make you a prisoner. It's whatever you dwell on, it's whatever you think on, it will either free you or it will imprison you. And the only way we know if we are released from prison is when we get into the Word of God, because the Word of God sets us free. Faith comes by hearing this word, in order for our mind and our thinking to harmonize with God's will. Now, if we were holding resentment and unforgiveness, we know from the Word of God that that is wrong. It is completely opposite to our Father's heart. Yet we are still held in our mind with negative thoughts and thinking. And we have all experienced that. And if you haven't, you will as a Christian. So what does God have to do? He has to bring us under the anointing. He has to bring us to his word. He has to wield that two-edged sword in which to deliver us. And if we've got resentment and forgiveness, it is in the heart. And the heart has to be worked on. And the way it is worked on, like I always keep saying, keep coming. Keep listening, keep in prayer, keep in the word, keep walking with the Lord, and he will do that change. Because when the heart is changed, then the mind can change. And this is why the enemy attacks in the mind. That is the only place he can get to try and hold you, to give you those lies. And we soon wake up when we become born again. We soon start to realize, hang on, I know where this is coming from. This is not coming from me. This is coming from the enemy. This is a lie. The enemy is saying you still hold resentment, unforgiveness. You are still not delivered. You can't love that person. You can't love your mother, your wife, or your sister, your brother, or whoever it would be. They are the lies that he whispers to the mind. And we believe it. And how do we know we're believing it? Because we confess it. We hear what comes out of our mouth. That is why our words are powerful. Our words tell us what is going on in our minds. And that is why God has to set deliverance on the mind. So your mind can free you, or your mind can make you a prisoner. This is why we have so much mental problem. It's a worldwide problem, and it's a problem particularly with young people. The powers of darkness now are making them prisoners in their mind, because they are believing the lies of the devil. They listen to the negativeness of the news or what is in newspapers. This is why I say that advertising has such a control over the mind, over society, over news media, the TV. Wherever you go to the shops, you see advertising. Why is there so much money spent out on advertising? Why is it when you go on your phone or computer, you've got algorithms watching what you're looking at, working out what it can persuade you to try and buy, and so on? Why is so much money plowed into this? Because they know where man is vulnerable. He's weak. He believes what he sees, what he hears, and so on. The devil has got them. And we're being delivered from this, brothers and sisters. This is why God is closing doors to the mind in deliverance, where we no longer want to look at this or put our ears to this, because it's a lie. The only thing that we can entertain and take on board is the promises of God's word. Now, of course, I know we have to live in this world. We're still in it. But the point is, we don't have to believe it. And yet, advertising knows exactly where to make money. It's a multi-billion industry because it plays on the weaknesses of man's mind. He believes what he sees, what he hears. This is why our news media now is so much propaganda to it. Because people are vulnerable, they believe it, they listen to it. And this is why the Holy Spirit is working with us like he is to deliver us, so that we do not have this stuff in our minds, mulling over, battling. Is this of God or isn't it of God? And so on. The enemy knows exactly where to attack. He's a master at it. You see, there's a warfare going on right now for your mind. Do you think the powers of darkness like this meeting? They like this message? The powers of darkness are trying to battle over your mind. See, Satan tries to lock it. And this is what we call mindsets over the mind. He not only tries to influence, but once you've been influenced, he has a way of locking it, holding it in position, in the mind, in the thinking. In other words, he holds it in his grip. And that's why sometimes it takes deliverance. Sometimes it takes the word of God or the casting out of demons, because it is gripped in the mind, in the thinking. You see, you've got to understand this. Your mind is your closest companion. It is with you 24/7. You never leave your mind. Your mind is with you all the time. Your mind is with you even when you are asleep. And this is why I take this teaching so seriously. Because your mind molds your thought patterns and your actions. Your actions, what you do, how you do a thing, is all molded by your thought patterns. Let's look at some scriptures now to begin to open up what I mean by this. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll take it up from verse 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. And here it's the wonderful story of the birth of Jesus. Mary receives news that she's going to give birth to Messiah. And we take it up in verse 19. And it says then Joseph, her husband, a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. So in his mind, in his thinking, here she is. She's a virgin. She's pregnant. I need to put her away because of the shame of this. I need to do something. He's protecting her. And it's very understandable. And it goes on, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. So there was the problem, fear. He's mulling it over in his mind, deciding what to do. Here is divine intervention. Exactly the same today for us here in this room. We might be mindful of some things. You may be mulling over in your mind. You may be seeking God about some decisions or something to do. Divine intervention comes. And what is that divine intervention? It is the word of God. It is the Spirit of God who will speak to help us to make the right choice, the right decision. And it goes on, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So he's confirming, she's not a loose woman. She's not a prostitute. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There we are. The Lord intervenes. The Lord helps us in our mind to make those right decisions, those choices. That's why we have such scriptures back in Proverbs. I know you know it, but we're going to look at it. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. What does he say? For your mind to make the right choice decision, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So it is the heart, faith. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. Why is that there? Because of our minds. Our minds can make the wrong choice, the wrong decision. And we've done it, haven't we? All of us. We've all made a wrong decision, a wrong choice. And so he says it comes back to faith, trusting in your heart, knowing that you're not to lean on your own understandings. You don't always know. You're not always right. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So in other words, in decisions, in life, and we all face it, we go before God to get the wisdom, the guidance. We wait on him for the very purpose, because the decision I make is up to my mind, my thinking. That's why. Because your mind is your closest companion. It's with you 24/7. And so it gives us that wisdom, that knowledge from above, how to apply it, when to apply it, when to walk out, when to do whatever is needed in that situation. Let's turn also to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8. We're talking today about experiencing a sound mind. That's what we're raising today. And we'll look at this. This is the demon man who's possessed, the demoniac. Let's look at this. Let's pick it up from verse 26 of Luke 8. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in his house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for he had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. and they were afraid. They also had seen it told them by what means he had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitudes of the surrounding regions of the Gadareans asked him to depart from them, and they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And so he went his way. What do we see there? That man was held by a legion of demons. I believe that's 2,000, a Roman legion. Either 1,000 or 2,000, I can't remember. But it's a huge amount. Tormented. Nobody could control him. And we know that when the demons are cast out, he's clothed and he's in his right mind. What has happened? He has now got right thinking. He wasn't thinking straight before all of that was happening. The Lord had set a deliverance over his mind. And this is what God does with us. This is what God is doing today, now, as we listen to the teaching. He is delivering us so that we have right thinking in our minds. It shows just how corrupt a mind can become, how open it is to the powers of darkness. And this is why God is healing us. This is why I have the privilege of teaching the deeper life. Because the deeper life is a deeper life with God. And it's a deeper life where you are being delivered, set free, changed. And how does God do this? Well, he does it through the trials and tests. Let's look at the prodigal son. Here's another illustration of what I'm talking about here. Remember, we're talking about experiencing a sound mind. Luke 15, and let's take it up from verse 11 through to 20. We all know the story of the prodigal son, but listen to what goes on here. So in verse 11, Luke 15, then he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger man said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." That is an analogy of our salvation, what our Heavenly Father has done with us. But look what it took. Look what it took. He says that but he spent all the money, verse 14, and a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. See, God is using that. He's using the trial for a reason. But when he came to himself, what does it mean? He started to think differently. He had wrong thoughts. He had wrong thoughts about blessings. All he could think about was to spend and have a good time. He didn't think about the future. He didn't think about being wise. Does it sound familiar? We've all done it. And so God had to allow him to go through a trial, a testing in which to come to himself, to have another mind, another thinking, right thinking. And this is what God does with us. This is why he allows you to go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of God, because he has to work on your mind to have a different mind, a different thinking. Your thinking, your mind does not line up with God's word, God's will. And so our trials are our best deliverance. And you know that's true, brothers and sisters, because you know what I'm talking about. You know what you've gone through or are going through. The trial you are going through or the trial you went through recently is for the purpose to get to your mind, to deliver you. Your thinking is wrong. You've picked up things of the past. Do you know that some of our minds, our thinking, are as a result of ancestral holds? They come through generations. And God has to deliver. Sometimes those generational holds are curses. They've been involved in witchcraft. They hold families for generations. Nations can be held in witchcraft. I'll tell you what comes to mind is Ireland. What goes on there? They are curses, unforgiveness. They hold resentment, unforgiveness. The mind has to be released. These are demonic holds that hold the minds of people. This is why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. These are powers, principalities that hold unforgiveness, that hold resentment, that hold curses over nations, governments, families. Look at this deliverance that God is doing. This is why it is a miracle, brothers and sisters. It is a miracle when you have a different mind, when your mind is released from these strongholds of depression, oppression, confusion, and so on. Look what he's bringing forth in this last day now, the sons of God who are being purified, circumcised, like the sons of Levi. Hallelujah. And there's your story, the prodigal son. He had a completely wrong mindset. But look what God did to restore him. Look what God is doing, restoring us. And our Heavenly Father welcomes us with open arms. He doesn't lecture us. He doesn't use the past or whatever it is. No, he has cast it away as far as the east is to the west. We've been made a new creation in Christ. That is why when you bring up the past or bring up past sins before God, God says to you, what are you talking about? I don't understand. I don't know what you're talking about. I dealt with that at Calvary. I dealt with your sin. I cast it away as far as the east is to the west. But the enemy still wants to hold us in our minds to the past and so on. So what does God do? He works deliverance. He works through these trials, which are tailor-made to work in you to have a right mind and thinking. And the prodigal son is a classic example of this. That hardship that he went through changed his thinking. And that is how the Lord does it. He does it with us. We don't know sometimes how we come through these trials. It's a miracle. But the hardship, the pain of it, changed my thinking so that my mind can harmonize with the Word of God. This is why we put on the mind of Christ. We harmonize our mind. You see, our faith is hindered still because our thinking is wrong. The devil knows that God is putting a great faith within us to believe these miracles, so that when we pray, our prayers are answered. He's delivering us in our mind and thinking, so that when we lay hands upon people, they will be healed. He's getting us towards, ready for these greater works that are coming. He's not stupid. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can see what lies and persuasions can do. We every day are faced with lies and persuasions in the world. It's epidemic now. Let's turn to Acts 14. Acts chapter 14. And let's take it up from verse 8 to 20. And this is where Paul and Barnabas come to Lystra. You know this story well, but look here what goes on. Look what the Jews get up to. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. So faith can be seen. You can see it in some people, ready to be healed. And he said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Note, he didn't say, "Stand up on your feet in the name of Jesus." He doesn't use the name of Jesus. Do you know why? Because Christ who is in him is speaking through him. That's why. He's so close to the Lord. He walks so much in the Spirit that the Spirit is speaking the words through him. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was chief speaker. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands in the gates, intended to sacrifice with multitudes. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. And here we go. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he arose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. There we are. Look, there's a miracle going on. Look what's happening there. They're going in, persuading them that they're not gods like their gods. Then the Jews come up from Antioch, and what do they do? It says, and having persuaded the multitudes, they decided then that they would stone him after a miracle had taken place. That cripple walking. Who did that? The Jews. What was working behind that? Demonic forces to give them a different mind and thinking. They listened, and so they took him out and stoned him, thought he was dead. So the disciples come around, they're praying over him, whatever's going on, and God raises him up. A miracle, you see? Look what's going on there. This is why, brothers and sisters, we have to experience a sound mind. We can still be influenced by these wrong people, religious people. We can still be influenced by the powers of darkness. And that is why God is delivering us, so that we have this sound mind. That we hear from God. We know what God is saying. We know what the Word of God says. And this is why we pray for the Word. This is why we pray that God will expose darkness. That God will expose the lies that come out. This is why you need to pray for the world. You need to pray for your government. You need to pray for your country. Because of the lies that are coming out, particularly now with what we're going through with COVID. For this very purpose, so that they can have that right mind and thinking. Because lies, fear, pervert the mind. I go back to what the apostle said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7. He said, fear perverts. It changes. It causes you to have a different mind and thinking. That is exactly why the enemy uses fear. But guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God is delivering us from that fear that affects our mind, our thinking. And that is why you're getting healed. That is why God is putting the right thinking and thoughts now into your mind. And that's why we have the Word of God. We embrace the promises of God's Word. We confess these promises because it affects our mind, our thinking, to bring it right in harmony with God's mind, because we have the mind of Christ. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I think that is enough to take on board today, what the Lord, I think, would have us to hear. I believe there's more of this to come out next time, but I trust that it's helped you. I trust that you're learning more and more why it is that you go through what you go through and what God is doing, because He's getting to our mind, our thinking. Because that is the minefield. That is where the enemy attacks. And your mind is your closest companion. It is with you 24/7. You can't even turn it off. We've all tried to turn the mind off. It's impossible. You can't. It's with you. But God made our minds, he made our brains for him, for his glory, for us to be able to appreciate and learn and experience him. That is what our minds and brains are made for. So let God do it. Don't resist in this. And where you still are becoming aware of confusion or things still not right in your thinking or mind or whatever it is, bring it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And he'll work. He'll work that deliverance so that you will experience that sound, whole mind, the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, that you are healing our minds, our thinking. We have your mind, the mind of Christ. Lord, work that deliverance. Deliver us from those wrong mindsets. Deliver us where we're still held in our thinking, our mind, like a vice that tries to control us. Oh, Father, you have a way of delivering us and setting us free from the powers of darkness. Those areas of fear that we've had in our lives are as a result of wrong thinking. But you're changing that. You're delivering us from that. You're giving us your mind because we are a new creation in Christ.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.